Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Like walking through the gates of hell. That's how Tim Costello has described his recent experience visiting Rohingya refugee camps in Bangladesh. In less than a three-month period, 100,000 men, women and children have been driven out of their homes in the Rakhine State in western Myanmar. It's being described as an act of ethnic cleansing. Hounded out of their homes, apparently by the Myanmar military, they were shot at, men and women and children were assaulted, their villages have been burnt down, and there were even reports that the escape route to Bangladesh was booby-trapped with landmines. World Vision has launched an immediate appeal to help these people, and we spoke with World Vision's Ambassador at Large, Reverend Tim Costello, clearly still affected by his recent visit.
This year I've been in some terrible places, South Sudan and the refugee camps there, the refugee camps outside Mosul in Iraq, and I thought I'd seen everything, but I hadn't. This was by far the worst. I felt like I walked through the gates of hell to the most dreadful human suffering that I've personally witnessed.
I think we know you well enough to know that you're not a man of hyperbole.
Well, these are desperate people who fled from Myanmar across the river. Many have died on the way. In fact, in their camp, the only slightly open space is the burial ground. And it broke me up seeing so many tiny plots of children under five who'd been buried, who died on the way or got there and died. I saw malnourished children. I saw women who should be breastfeeding but can't lactate because of the horror of walking 14, 15 days without food. I saw people living literally on top of each other in 40 degree humidity, only with a bit of black plastic to keep out the elements. And I also saw the angels, World Vision and other agencies, saying, we are here, you are not invisible to us. We know you have a name, and we will treat you with dignity, even though there is no dignity living like this.
It sounds like, as you recall it, it's affecting you even now, Tim.
It is. I reflected deeply how I often give speeches in Australia where I can say, know your God-given calling, reach your full potential, and they make sense here. I looked at these people who are stateless, so they have no rights. The state literally, it doesn't just ignore them, it's hostile to them, and that's why they've fled. They're now homeless, their homes have been burned, so many women have been raped, so many men killed. They told me just the most harrowing stories. And in this refugee camp, which really was three smaller refugee camps, is now a mega camp with 600,000 people that have arrived in the last month. They are hopeless. So, I am affected. Stateless, homeless, hopeless. It was quite devastating to witness.
Even as they were fleeing, we had those reports of landmines being planted. Did you were you able to verify those?
I heard those stories, and I heard terrible stories of sexual predation for these traditional people. For a woman to even admit to any sexual assault is a terrible shame. So you know it's been buried, and for them to even tell you the story is excruciating. But so many first-hand accounts, these people are not making it up. They're not fleeing just because, they've made a choice to try and go to Bangladesh. This is just horrible.
Oh, yes. Tim Costello, who are the Rohingya?
Well, some 200-300 years ago, people, there were no boundaries, nothing called Bangladesh and Myanmar boundary, and people who were Muslim by background, who spoke a dialect that is spoken in some parts of southern Bangladesh, settled in the Rakhine State. There's also, I might say, some Hindus who have fled also from that Rakhine State when we think it's just Buddhist on military Buddhist on Muslim violence. It's more complex. There's also about 50,000 Hindu who fled. So the Rohingya are a group of people who have been there for centuries and who have become invisible. And I find it strange, well, disturbing, that in human history we sometimes see irrational, visceral hatred by a dominant population, a dominant state, toward a group that is profoundly irrational. You can't help but think of the 1930s in Germany. And this is deeply disturbing when you're with people who literally are treated by the state as invisible non-humans.
And the state, though, itself now, Rakhine State is now part of Myanmar, and we had thought, we in our very comfortable homes in the West, in Australia, we were all supportive of Aung San Suu Kyi and waved our finger at the regime at the time, and yet even she has been unable to prevent this from happening.
Yeah, look, the view of most of us here is that Aung San Suu Kyi is still probably the best hope for Myanmar, Burma, but it's a deep shock. A Nobel Peace winning author, prize winner, who has been missing or gone silent.
The one time she did speak, it was as if she was, and she probably was, reading a speech that was prepared for her by the military, full of justification and rationales. And
You puzzle, and I don't know the answer to this, but it's almost as if the glue that holds Myanmar together is a visceral hatred for the Rohingya people and those who are refugees. It is really puzzling for me to actually try and understand this. You know, Bangladesh has been welcoming, but Bangladesh has a population of 165 million and it's half the size of Victoria, my state, which has 7 million people. Yes. And you just realise how they desperately only want temporary camps. I can understand this. So these people can go back. But the temporary camps is why it's like the gates of hell. They're so flimsy, so packed together. They aren't protected from the elements. We walked in mud up to our ankles when those rains really start. Those little bits of plastic will collapse. They're on the worst land, perched where there are landslides. Think of a city of 600,000 Canberra size suddenly in the last month just erected, and you get a picture of just the horror of this.
And so, as you've mentioned, there are several aid agencies there, World Vision being one of those. Are things going to at least return?
This sound is processed by StereoTool. Go to StereoTool.com.
Look, we are quite overwhelmed, but the truth is that we now are not seeing people dying because they can't get food, because they can't get water. There is enough control in that camp for those things to be occurring. Because the Bangladesh government doesn't want to give any extra land, you still have too many people and such perilous plots of land that we can't change that. That's why that misery is sort of entrenched. And while it's only temporary shelter bits of plastic, you really fear for when the rain season comes. But at least at the moment, we're keeping them alive whilst we all pray there's some sort of political settlement that allows them to go back. Of course, the trauma for so many is a big question as to whether they will want to go back. Will you trust again? That's the complexity, Stephen.
Oh, yes, of course. And so, Tim, let's move to that question of the political settlement. Very complicated because of so many different players, and even the hand of China said to be in there somewhere?
Yeah, look, China have said we don't believe in any intervention. It's just an internal matter. We know they don't want any interference in there. Their country, India largely, said the same. Russia have said the same.
Yeah.
The problem with this view is that no intervention in a state has allowed massive external burden and intervention in the state of Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Rex Tillerson has called it ethnic cleansing, as did Queen Rania. I was with, well, not far away from Queen Rania of Jordan on the same day in the same camp.
Yeah.
But, of course, the Chinas and others, and this is the dividing line in the Security Council, are saying internal matter only.
Mm. Well, and there's a real hostility, as I understand it, between the Indians and the Rohingyas.
Yes, there's been that history too. Look, Bangladesh has always got on pretty well with Indians. Mm. The Indian government backed them in their war of independence against Pakistan. Mm. And there was an Indian minister there meeting when I was there, but sort of dancing around saying, well, we're supportive of Bangladesh, they're our great friend. What about the Rohingyas? Well, we'll see. It's incredibly complex. And in the middle of this, the people who literally have become invisible. I was so pleased to be able to say to many of them through a translator, World Vision, that's Christian, believes that God knows your name. God loves you. We are here. And there was remarkable openness to them because they have become invisible.
Well, Tim Costello, let's go to that question about why God would allow suffering along these lines. The question of so many enemies of Christianity, so many angry atheists will say, there you are, that proves that if there is a God, I don't want to know him because he lets this suffering happen. What do you see, though, when you go and look at those people in the face?
Look, I see people who made an image of God, who God has not given up on, and in the person of Jesus, shown us what it means to be fully human, to be truly human. In Jesus, to love your neighbour, to love even your enemy, to not simply seek revenge and stand on the shoulders of others feeling superior and crush them. That's where my faith comes from. So when people say, where is God? I say, look at Jesus. When they say, why does God allow this to happen? I don't have an answer to that other than human freedom has to be allowed. Otherwise, we have a God who's just a puppet master, and we're just puppets without any choices and any freedom to love.
It's so funny, isn't it? You can look at both sides of that coin. You say, yes, the answer lies in God. If those people in Rakhine State acted in the way that Jesus acted towards outsiders, they would love the Rohingyas. They wouldn't be driving them out, raping and murdering them.
That's exactly what I believe. And I think the curing of the human heart, because we know that's where war, conflict, racism, superiority, cruelty starts. It's actually the real work of World Vision. The work of World Vision isn't just the hardware of shelter and water wells. It's actually the software of saying you are made in the image of God. It starts in the heart.
Yeah. Tim, can the Australian government do more?
The Australian government has contributed $30 million at the pledging conference in Geneva, and I think that's been good. Of course, Australian aid's been cut to its lowest level ever, so we don't have a lot to play with. I am certainly not critical of the Australian government. I know they've been very clear, unambiguous, in saying human rights are important. That's in a world which is seeing human rights rolled back so often, you know, with the non-intervention, don't intervene in another nation. Well, actually, if human rights are universal and indivisible, how do you actually make that argument?
That's right. Well, Tim, thank you for... Well, I appreciate that you came on the program, but, gosh, I'm not thankful for the message you bring, but I'm glad we hear about it so that we can at least pray and do whatever we can to support organisations like World Vision. So thank you for being on the show.
Well, if any of your listeners wish to donate to our Myanmar, Bangladesh crisis, go to the website or ring 1332 40. In Jesus' name, we are there.
Lovely. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.